Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Foo Fighters kick off the final hour of the week. Chad Hartman back here with you on Newstalk 830 WCCO. My friend Jeff Day is here, and Jeff has a voluminous, compelling story in the Star Tribune, startribune.com, online today in the actual paper. And I like it's framed beautifully, too, online. A felony case is first stop. And, Jeff, you're talking about it. Thank you so much for coming over.
Yeah, thank you.
You're talking about a Hennepin County court. You're talking about violent felons and what takes place. And I read this. I read it twice. And I thought of this as my first question. Is this, and I know you put a lot of time into this, is this an example of the best of our justice system? Or the worst of our justice system?
Oh, well, I would categorically say that this is the best in terms of it is a look at the diligent, daily hard work of the professionals who occupy that space. I think they would say, is this the best function? Okay, that's up for debate. I think all of that is kind of a philosophical question that societies wrestle with in general. What do you do with the criminal elements that come up in your neighborhood, whatever it is? But for citizens, I hope, and for people who read this story, I hope they see it as what a monumental task.
That's it. That's part of where I was going, because clearly you have some brilliant people who are tireless in their efforts and are skilled at what they're doing. But because of the churn, because how fast it's going, and how much time you have to understand the complexity to certain individuals, and there's a graph in your story, which I'm going to cite later, where you're talking about all the people are going through. And where it just gives me pause is when these folks don't have the financial wherewithal, most of them, to go get the late Joe Freeper or go get these other folks. And so are they, and many of them are in there because of just egregious allegations, dangerous, frightening allegations. So I'm not trying to go soft on them in any way, but are they given a full opportunity to tell their story?
You know, and so let's also paint a picture for your listeners here, because it's like this is a very specific courtroom that we talk about where they do bail review hearings.
Yep.
And so this is every person charged with a felony in Hennepin County. And there's kind of a rule of thumb that we have at the paper. Hennepin County does about as much crime as the rest of the state collectively.
Yeah.
So Hennepin County is kind of this very unique macro organism. I don't know what I'm saying right now.
Yeah.
When it comes to the question of like who is being brought in there, what kind of defense can they mount? You have the public defender's office that is always available. You know, we all know this from watching any crime television series. You know, a lawyer will be appointed to you if you cannot afford one. But that is not the only element of a financial equation here. Just because you have a lawyer doesn't mean that you're getting the same opportunities, because if you are kept in custody, well, what does that mean versus, say, being out on bail if you mm-hmm. can afford the money?
Right.
If you can get out, that means that you can have access to, well, first of all, your family or anybody that's a support system. They can be around you.
Right.
You can have access to your laptop, to your cell phone, to speak with your lawyer. You can go to attend court-ordered treatment if you want to work that out with a judge. There's all kinds of opportunities that are afforded to you. So the public defender's office is obviously diligent in their representation of their clients, but that doesn't mean that they think that the bail system is inherently fair.
Most people who are in the middle of it, what do they think is the best path for an ideal bail system? Because that debate became very political too,
yeah.
right? Where the Republicans in cities or states where they were more left-leaning, when they wanted to be more than just money, then many Republicans, not all, said, well, soft on crime. And with some people, they made hay on that.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be just money. I think that's a complete mistake. But how do we navigate the combinations and, again, the complexities of each individual case? Because I'd love, and I say this often, I'd love to say, I can judge this individually. Well, if you're a county, you have to have certain parameters.
Yeah.
You have to have certain baselines. And if you don't, you open yourself up to further litigation on how unjust, how unfair this particular bail system was, if it's just up to the particular judges case by case.
It does. One of the things I really tried diligently to do with the story was to avoid any, because I do. It's why we use 10 years of data. It's why we're kind of looking at a wide spectrum of felony charges, because I want to remove almost a political lean to it to show the work. But in that work, the people are talking about exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And if you, like Judith Cole, who's one of the main characters in this, because
yes.
she's this very, very unique attorney and, I mean, just a genius in that room, in my personal opinion. You know, I don't say that in the story, but she's just incredibly – there's no smarter person in that room about this bail process. She told me – this isn't the story, but she told me, to her, it's a question about what is being litigated in that room at that first appearance. We're talking about violent felonies.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said she has all kinds of empathy for the life circumstances of a person, for the financial circumstances of a person, for all the things that might bring that person into that courtroom, their mental health, their chemical
yeah.
dependency, all
right.
of that. But she told me that there is a limit to that when you hurt somebody else. So that's her point of view on it.
Yeah.
Then there's all kinds of questions about, you know, what happens if somebody commits a crime when they're out. Now, the public defender's office and judges, too, will tell you that is extremely rare. But when it happens, it is extremely notable. When somebody is out on bail and they do something egregious, people go, "What? How is this happening? Like, why was this person not held in custody? They were arrested for this. How,
yeah,
you know?"
Right.
So that's where there is a very much a not just a public safety, but a public perception question.
I was just going to say, because, okay, I'm looking for something that is going to be memorable to my audience, where if they're going to listen, where they have options of music or comment or whatever, and I'm trying to grab them in some way. And if there's a case, and in my perception, the Moriarty team has been a bit softer than they should have. That's just my personal opinion. People get to disagree or agree. And I see an example like this, and Jeff Day writes a story about that in the Star Tribune. Am I going to do a good enough job on context on what small percentage this is? I hope so. I hope so. But I'm also going to paint a picture, probably using the outlines of your story and what our news team is doing, to say, how could someone this egregious, this dangerous, be allowed out when the totality will show that is a rarity? That is an exception.
Yeah, and that's part of the... What I would say, and when I say fun here, I use that term loosely, but as
yeah,
a reporter, part of the fun for me
right.
is when the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office gives me their data of how many people they pass through the county jail in a year, and it's essentially, you know, I would relate it to Chanhassen, which is where I grew up. It's like Chanhassen coming
Isn't it,
through. It's 25,000.
I wrote it down.
Yeah.
25,296 people.
Now, that's not all felonies.
Yeah.
But that is an incredible amount of people that
right.
are committing criminal activity in
it's
this
county. It's an entire town.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so when you go into this room and you watch the speed with which we're moving through cases, and like you said, these are the most serious, egregious
yeah.
of
right.
cases. And yet, even in that, because the thing that is most visible in that room is pain and suffering. pain and suffering on all ends.
Right.
And that means even a defendant, there are defendants in there that you look at and you go, oh, I mean, it's hard not to have even a little bit of empathy, feeling for them, because they are at the lowest moment of their life. I think most people would agree that the average human isn't born a sociopath.
Yeah, right. How
have they arrived here?
Yep.
But then in the room, you have family members of victims who are sitting there, I mean, just waiting to see this person. They have ruined some element of their life. It's what gives it this great tension. And so all of the – I often think about – and I have no opinion about Mary Moriarty as the Hennepin County Attorney.
I'm allowed to.
Yes, I like covering her as a person. But what I have thought sometimes about criminal justice reform, which I think is part of her platform that she is 100% curious about.
Yeah.
And you're going to like this. I sometimes think about Moneyball. Analytics.
This is Billy Bean, who revolutionized baseball, who wanted to take a different approach, had so much success, it has been copied over and over again.
Statistical analysis trying to revolutionize a sort of empirical data set, right? That works really well conceptually until you have a father, a mother, sister, somebody going, I have been wronged, and the greatest pain of my life is being laid. And that's a difficult place, because how do you argue with that, with evidence? And I'm not saying that you can't or that you shouldn't, but it just creates a really difficult space.
Yeah, I mean, I've made this point, talked about Mary and the election. The concept of looking at our judicial system, how individuals arrive, why they're there, when they serve their time, when they come back, who keeps arriving? How can we look at this instead of just doing the same thing? Part of what I detest about this place at times, and I love the opportunity to work here, is too much of, well, we've done this before.
Mm.
Why are we doing it?
Mm.
So if you look at a system as important as our justice system in the biggest county and say, I want to look at things differently, it's better in the abstract than it is in the reality, because you're right. There's someone who lives in Crystal whose mom went to work and was assaulted and is never the same. And then you go there and you find out this is the seventh time this person has been arrested. And you're like, how in the bleep does this keep happening?
There is no good answer for that particular question because it's so personal. And that's where the counterargument comes. You have to remove some of that. You have to remove some of the deeply personal elements of this if you are going to get to deeper truths about are the functions of our criminal justice system working in any kind of appropriate way? Are they giving us anything to really hang our hat on and say, this works?
Yeah.
And I think that would be the counterargument. You know, like you said, is the old way working? And if not, why not? And again, it's what makes that room really feel like you're kind of getting court in miniature. You're just seeing it bang,
fast
bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
And then as you watch cases play out over the months in the wake of this, which I've been fortunate enough to do here for a couple of months, the themes that you see in this room continue to play out all the way through.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Jeff Day's here. His lengthy story about felons and their first appearances in court and all the dynamics, as I told him, it's a compelling read, and he's doing an excellent job explaining to us. We have more to talk about, including more data, which I think will surprise you if you get a chance to listen to us or read Jeff's story in the Star Tribune. We're back in moments on CCO.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City. Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, Jeff Day. We are going to get to my father, by the way, on air before Jeff leaves. Here's some data from his outstanding story about felons, Hennepin County. I think I have this right. 53% of the felons charged in Hennepin County, it's resolved in a plea deal. Okay? 32% of the charges are dismissed. Those are huge numbers. Unless, do I have these wrong?
You don't have them wrong, but the thing to know is that often those charges can be in the same criminal case for one person.
So, and there's multiple charges with that one person.
So like say that person has six criminal charges, we're going to plead to two and we're going to drop four of them. So that's kind of something just to be conceptually aware of.
Okay. How often, and you allude to this in the story, the public defenders, well, how many judges rotate through this?
I think it's 14. And I might give it 12 or 14, one of those two numbers, yeah.
Okay. How often is the public defender, in the brief amount of time they have to talk with their client, saying, okay, here's Judge Day. Here's what we know about Judge Day. Here's what we know how Judge Day leans. I get it. We have the same law, but we have judges who are going to interpret things. We have lawyers who take different approaches. Every case is different. But just that feeling of the approach one judge has over the other.
I think it's a critical part of it. I also think, you know, I talk about this a little bit in the story, this pre-sentence pre-trial investigation. I can't, now my words are eluding me. But anyway, an investigation sort of into the person.
Trying to understand the person.
Exactly.
Just to break down this person that everybody, when they're trying to decide the bail, it's not just what you're saying, it's they've had a chance to read this.
Everybody's reading the same document and kind of getting a feel for this person's history, their criminal history, their personal history. And then the public defender goes back there. And again, the public defender is a daily rotation.
Yeah.
When the public defender...
How many public defenders? About?
I mean, I don't even know the total number. Here's what I do know.
Yeah.
When they come in there to represent somebody, typically, especially somebody who's appearing for the first time, as opposed to coming back in on a violation of release or a warrant for their arrest or something, but a first person who's just been charged with a felony and is coming through on that charge, the public defender who's there is taking that person on as a client.
Yep.
So that's why they rotate. Because if you're in there a day and you get nine new clients, well, that's a hefty workload.
Right.
And so then you might not come back for another, 8 weeks to then take on more clients.
I see.
Same with the judge.
Yeah. So it's not a public defender. Okay, let's say I'm the person. I committed some felony. On day one when I'm in there, I have lawyer Jeff Day.
Yeah.
On day seven, I come back for something else, now Dave Harrigan. I will have the same public defender who will stay with me?
In Hennepin County, yes. In other counties, no. Ramsey County does it differently, but this is how they do it in Hennepin.
Okay.
And in Hennepin, the judges stay too. So the judge takes on that person that they see in that felony first room. They're going to see that case all the way through to its conclusion.
Yep.
So that's why they're rotating, to keep their caseload manageable.
Yep.
But when it comes to the judge's sort of disposition or their philosophy, there is without question. I mean, each judge is an individual arbiter. That's just how it goes.
Exactly.
They all seem to be, every person I've seen in there, every judge I have seen in there is deliberate, thoughtful. You can see that, like we said, because it's moving so fast, you can see them try to calm the room down, calm their mind down, take a second.
How often are outbursts, just because the emotion is...
Really depends. One of the most amazing things about it is, so the calendar works that they always try to hear the cases first that have an audience. So the sheriff's deputy will walk around and say, okay, who are you here for? So it's always, if there's a major case, something that's in the news already, that will be heard first or second.
Didn't you write 1:30? Is that when this?
Yes, 1:30 is when the calendar
starts. So 1:30 is when it starts.
Yes, and you'll know that it's a busy day when you get to security and the line is 40 deep and the officers who are handling security, you can just see the look on their face. They're like, okay, everybody, let's get some order here. Let's kind of get this figured out. Let's move the belts off, shoes off. Here we go.
Right.
But anyway, so when you get in there, they try to take the most high-profile stuff with the largest audience first so that then they can slowly empty the courtroom. And so the outbursts happen at any time You might think it's typically when there's a lot of people in the room, but sometimes that's not the case. You know, I was once in there. There was a man who was charged with child pornography, and he was working at a daycare. This was a case a couple of months ago here in Hennepin County.
Yeah.
Lot of parents in the room.
Sounds horrible.
No outbursts, right? But just a very busy room. Later that day, a defendant had a serious outburst. There was nobody there. And so it's one of the interesting things about the room. You don't know exactly when the outburst is going to come, but my experience in the times that I've been in there is that there is always something. There is always some kind of tension. There is always some kind of thing that you almost can't – you're like, wait, what did I just hear? I've been there in times where the court kind of pauses almost. Everybody kind of pauses and goes, oh, that's like a new thing. We haven't heard that before, whatever that might be, whether it's a defendant outburst or somebody in the audience. And that's what makes Cole such a wonderful repository for information in that room, because she's seen everything. One of the coolest things I heard about – well, it depends what you think about cool.
But memorable?
Yeah. The calendar used to be in the morning.
Oh.
And that meant that when the attorney, the county attorney would show up or the public defender would show up, they would have had no time to look at who was coming
Day. I was thinking after you said that.
Yeah, no time to study.
So this is the astute thing to do.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff Day is here. This story is really compelling about what happens in Hennepin County. I'm going to add another part of Jeff Day. How many years were you my father's right-hand guy at the paper?
I think it was like 10 or 12. It had to be like 12 years, I think, in total. 2006 is when I first started doing anything with him. And passed away in 2020, if I'm not... No.
October 18th, 2020.
100 years old.
At 2 o'clock.
Yes. And so that would be whatever. How many years that is? 14 years.
Right.
With a year off in the middle. So that's how long.
Part of this, I'm not going to deny while we're talking about this, it's caused me to think of my father.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be honest. And I will say this, that I honestly don't know. In fact, there was no way for my father to function without you. I mean that. My father loved you. I know you loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And you were essential to my father's existence. I still, there's part of me that still believes today, he just celebrated a birthday, heavenly birthday, that at 105, he probably would be in a wheelchair. Or he would have broken another hip and he'd use that walker's weapon. But he would still be here if COVID didn't stop him from going.
Mm.
But without your ability to understand him as a person, to transcribe, to get his rhythm, to get him as a person, to care for him as a person. If my father would not have been working in the Star Tribune, he would not have lived that long. And without you, that just doesn't happen. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I should have known that something like this would happen where my body would kind of leave me talking to you about this. But, Sid is such a fundamental part of the Star Tribune and a fundamental part of my existence, and he always will be. And I think about how his loss opened up my life, and that's a difficult thing. It's one of the difficult things about when you lose somebody you love and how you are changed in that moment.
Yeah.
For him, it was a unique kind of care that we had for each other. It was a professional care, but like I really did come to think of him as being – you know, people talk about father figures. It's like a grandfather figure. I mean, he was like this a completely unique human being. And so I sometimes think about the good fortune I've had to learn about myself as a reporter and to try to establish myself as an individual at the paper. But that does not mean that there's ever a day that goes by that I don't think about him or kind of wonder what his take would be. I mean, I think sports in this town – and just the town at large is a different place without him. And I don't know. I mean, how long does it go until that? Until you don't feel that? For me, it will be my life, you know, as a reporter. So,
yeah, I mean, my father is like anyone. There's a lot of layers to him. And in some ways, he could be the most simple person. In some ways, he could be baffling, right? And he could be crusty and owly and mad and... I would see those eyes whenever I was. If those eyes had a certain tinge to them, I was like, "Here we go." And then I have plenty of that in me. And if you came in 06, we probably were slowing down our Donnybrooks, but they were still going on for a while. But the dirty little secret about my father is, if he cared for you, then he really, really cared for you. And he did. And I know what he thought of you. You know, and I know what he thought of, you know, how he could help you and what he wanted to do and how he wanted to thank you. And it meant a lot to him.
The thing I think about with him is his feelings towards his family were overwhelming.
Yeah.
Overwhelming. Superseded anything he had going. Now, that didn't mean that he didn't stay miraculously busy every day of his life charging forward.
Yeah.
But any time that I was ever near him, when anything came up with his family, you could feel him stop.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, I need to turn myself towards this. And that was a really, I think, a private but illuminating part of him, was that his heart beated towards that despite all of his, you know, obvious pride that he took in his personal and professional accomplishments outside of his family. So I always felt blessed to get little glimpses of it, because it felt like this very, like I said, very private side of a very public individual.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
This was great. Let's do this again.
All right. Thank you, Chad.
Jeff's story is well worth the read in the Star Tribune about Hennepin County felons and what happens on a day-to-day basis. He put in hours and hours to witness this, and the work is well represented. StarTribune.com. Also, this work, Jeff, because we talked longer and ate into Dave's main segment all week. Am I wrong? And he's not pleased right now. And so
you'll be hearing from the committee.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm apologetic.
Hit the button.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.